WRCT 88.3 FM. My name is Anthony Cachado, and I am the Public Affairs Director for WRCT over here. Today, I have the distinct pleasure of introducing to you a very special program following the CMU Spring Carnival. For those of you unaware, there is a little homegrown sport over here called Buggy. We're going to be having some people speak on the upcoming Buggy competition, members of the Buggy Alumni Association, as well as sweepstakes, and one of our teams, the Carnegie Involvement Association. Without further ado, I'm pleased to introduce everyone speaking with us today. Thank you very much for listening, and enjoy.
Thank you. And hello, everybody. Welcome. This is Will Weiner back yet for another year of my 100-year curse of talking about Buggy. Exciting. We have a race day preview show. We're going to take you through everything related to this year's race day to get you caught up, prepared to know what to care about, what to watch for these next few days. I am here with some awesome experts, so let's just go ahead and everyone on the panel introduce themselves.
Hello, everyone. My name is Nate. I'm here representing CIA Buggy, formerly the head mechanic and currently this year the head of data collection for CIA.
Hi, I'm Olivia. I am currently on sweepstakes as Buggy Book Chair this year, and I'm also a part of CIA.
I'm Elizabeth. I'm sweepstakes marketing and communications chair.
I'm Harry, and I'm assistant chair of sweepstakes.
Hi, I'm Ale, and I'm this year's sweepstakes chair, and I was last year's sweepstakes safety chair.
I'm Matt. I am the BAA broadcast chair.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, everybody, for joining. Also, that's wild. Teams have a head of data collection now. Maybe that always was a thing, but warms my former STEM major heart. Cool. So let's go ahead and just kind of recap how things have been this year for people who haven't maybe necessarily been keeping up with roles reports. But how much practice have teams got in and what's it been like just kind of leading up to race day this year?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think we've had a great year so far in the fall, got more than 500 roles. Spring started a little bit tough. We weren't able to go out for a couple the first week and ended up going out, eight times. Total roles for the year is 1,073.
Wow.
Some drivers have almost 70 roles, so it's a great of a role. Every driver's qualified.
Yeah, I mean, I guess from the student perspective, I think we got more roles in the spring we did this year than last year, which is a little crazy because I'm pretty sure we only had one or two days last year canceled due to weather versus like at least four or five this year. So things have been running really efficiently than the days that we have been able to go out, and I think it's been showing. I don't think anyone really had issues qualifying.
Yeah, no, I mean, what was truck week when we had a driver actually getting 10 roles qualifying a buggy they kept like 3-4 days prior to truck weekend.
That is awesome. You know, it has been relatively mild, I feel like, this Pittsburgh winter. How's that affected the course? Are things looking bumpy this year? Has there been any pavement? I see Elizabeth laughing.
I think there's been a lot of drama on the course this year in terms of new construction, with the construction of the Highmark Center, as well as the parking changes that happened on Frew Street, which honestly has been like the biggest headache. So the teams are great, but the actual course has caused some problems. There were like new parking restrictions that we had to deal with, as well as, you know, various issues with the road surface, as well as the new bollards that were recently installed after spring break.
I mean, new bollards, I think there's probably about, what, 400, 500 appeared overnight over spring break, so that wasn't fun.
Yeah, especially in like the middle of the chute turn and some like critical areas of the course that we had to kind of deal with immediately.
Oh, so those are like kind of like protecting the bike lane, or
yeah, like 3-4 feet tall. They're like they're the 3-4 feet tall like sticks that are sticking up on the road.
They're great for the pedestrians. not wonderful for the sport of buggy though.
And I assume you can't remove them, or do you remove them?
Oh, we do. I think Fringe removes about, like, well, 40, 50. Spirit removes another, like, 15, and then Apex removes another 20.
A brand new chore this year.
Wow. Okay. And then what is the change with the parking? Because that's on, like, Tech Street there behind Hunt? Or
Oh, it's on Frew Street.
Frew, okay.
Yeah. The biggest change was it is now a one-way street with parallel parking instead of the head-in parking against like that stone wall that it was last year. And as a result, one, like because of the new parking, that's kind of one of the reasons why there's those bollards now. And also it means that like when there are cars like stationed there, it's a lot more of a headache to get them out. I think that's more impacting push practice recently rather than rolls, but it's just still something that like we had to deal with.
And then finally, I guess, just with the Highmark construction, is it still kind of blocked off all, the left side there of Hill 1, Hill 2?
Yeah, we still don't have our drop sidewalk. So drops are still happening on the opposite side of the road, at like a lane zero type situation.
I mean, at least they've promised us a pin. They've promised us like a honorary pin on the ground. We'll see if it actually happens.
A permanent drop zone is what yes.
Oh, wow. Built into the pavement. We love to hear that. What about the road itself? See a lot of...
I know on lane one, there's a section that was recently paved over on hill one, lane one. And so it was actually really interesting at heat selection watching normally... teams in that first wave pretty much exclusively choose lane one, but the field was actually pretty split this year on what lane teams were choosing. Some teams very clearly thought that that rough patch on hill one was going to cost them precious time and were intentionally choosing lane two early in heat selection.
Yeah, the entirety of the fall, lane one, hill one, lane one was out of commission. There was like a large bump in the ground. I'm not 100% sure the reason. It might have been like a water pipe burst related damage. But it was essentially unusable. And then they had an initial patch over the winter, which like degraded really quickly and caused a larger section of it to be unusable. And then a few weeks ago, we had a second patch over the area. It's now like rollable for buggies, but we've seen that teams have kind of strayed away from always preferring lane one in heat selection.
Interesting. Cool. Any other things kind of leading up to race day I may not have gotten to that might be interesting for our listeners just kind of tuning in? Otherwise, we'll go ahead and kind of jump into talking about some of the races and teams and all that.
I mean, I don't know about the course. I think it's more about teams have been doing great things this year, but I think that's probably what you're leading into. I think we've gotten quite a few surprises in terms of teams that have been going very fast, teams that have picked up themselves very, very well from last year, so...
Yeah, no, well, maybe let's go ahead and get into that. Who are some of those teams that really have been maybe surprising, I guess, to start out with in terms of their performance?
Yeah, absolutely. Personally for me, I think DG has done very, very well. I mean, they're going around the course incredibly fast. They're bringing back a very fast men's team. Their buggy, their loaner buggy is also going, again, ridiculously fast. They're heating wheels now as well. Which is surprising for them, especially given that at some point they did have some struggles. I also think STC picked up themselves incredibly well this year, especially from the struggles they had last year. But I don't know if anyone else.
I mean, those were the two I was going to say. I think especially DG, being that they're a newer org and they're an org that you've kind of seen throughout the past few years, have their ups and downs. I'm really excited to see them on race day later this week.
Did they build this year, or are they still using loan buggies?
They're still using a loaner buggy. There are some rumors of builds, a sweepstakes. We've kind of heard a little bit of what they're planning. It might take a little longer, but as expected, I mean, newer org, not a lot of alumni support. So, but I think they'll be fine.
Cool. I guess maybe we'll kind of go through the different... categories of the races then, and we can break down some of the teams and other stuff within that. I mean, I think one of the coolest things last year, right, was the introduction of the all-gender race, just seeing that be very successful, pretty well participated in. What's that looking like this year? Is the field growing, and any things to look out for there?
All-gender was really exciting last year. This year, there are more teams participating in it, and it looks like the teams that are participating in it are really putting forward pushers that are going to put up faster times. And I'm really excited because also we really don't know. It's a toss-up. It's a lot more of a toss-up. And, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're up to 7 teams this year from, was it 5 last year, 4 or 5? And yeah, it seems like just overall teams are taking it a little bit more seriously. It's less of a, like, throw all of your extra pushers as, like, a bone for, like, thanks for coming out to rolls and push practice, but more of an actual concerted effort to, you know, go for hardware and win trophies. And, you know, heat selection in a case like that is always interesting. So I'm very, very excited to see some maybe potentially close races. Hopefully not unsafe races, but close races on the back hills maybe.
Yeah, I mean, heat selection with old gender wasn't the easiest. We kind of just used last year's time and then tried to figure out what to do with the teams that had never done old gender. But I guess the hope is that it keeps growing over time and it can just become an established heat. So
maybe one day it'll have a prelims and a finals.
I was saying, because they just have a finals, right?
This at the moment, yes. Yeah.
Which is cool. 17. Yeah, I guess for that, you can't. I guess, yeah, there's a little less historical data or whatever to try and put those together. So
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, hopefully when Highmark decides to be done, we can use lane 3 and then we can have a lot more heats on day 1. Because right now it's pretty tough to put all those heats in just one day.
Right, because we're really only limited to 2 at the moment. Do you know who are the new teams joining on the all gender side?
I believe SDC and SAE both have new teams, along with the same 5 that participated last year.
Gotcha. Cool. All right, let's move maybe talking through some of the other teams as we're going on. Maybe we'll switch it over to the topic of the women's race. Obviously Spirit last year that was one of my favorite races to call in a long time, and just kind of, you know, asserting the fact that it wasn't a fluke. We'll get to SDC stuff coming up, but otherwise, you know, what has the field been looking like over on the women's side of things?
CIAD is looking really strong. Their Hill 1 is looking really good. I'm the Hill 1 for CIAD. that's all.
Your Hill 1 for your A team is also... Oh, shit. Your Hill 2 for your A team is also really good.
Yeah, exactly. I agree.
Yeah, we...
Lana killed it last year. Wasn't she Queen of the Hill?
Yep. Yeah, so. Queen of the Hill last year, moving to Hill 2 this year for CIA. I think my top 3 for women's this year are CIA, SDC, and Spirit. I think that's not really a surprise to anyone. With the slight caveat that Spirit lost a lot of their A-team pushers from last year. It's a very new push team, a few upgrades from their B-team, a few people coming in from different teams, and a few people who have just never pushed on race day before. They lost a few of their women's A-team pushers to SDC this year, I think, or they were sort of SDC relocates last year. So, yeah, it should be a really tight race at the top there, and I'm super excited to see how that goes down.
Yeah, that should be fun. We were actually struggling during heat selection to try to match teams together because they had all very, very close front hills. So I think women's race should be fun. So.
A lot of fast hill ones. I mean, I guess while we have you here, with CIA perspective on this, like how, you know, especially after the past couple years being very close and or the disqualification and whatnot, what is the energy kind of in that room of trying to really get a trophy on the women's side?
I mean, we came out of day 1 last year feeling really good, and you know, you never want to, like, we're really happy for Spirit and their win and stuff, but you know, I think I speak for the whole team when we, you know, watching them cross the finish line and watching that time go up, we all felt sadness. We can't deny it. But we really are coming in this year between the men's DQ and the just like last second grabbing of that trophy by Spirit last year, we're really coming in with a chip on our shoulder, and we really want to prove that, you know, we're here to stay.
Any particular special preparation or just hard work?
Our new build is our women's A team this year. We think it's specifically suited for the women's push teams. I think that's all I'm going to say on that matter.
And that's
without
Gold
giving
Finch,
too much away.
Right?
Yep, Goldfinch going to be debuting on race day for our women's A team, which is super exciting for a new buggy. And, you know, just moving around some of our pushers to different hills as well. Recruiting a few new people, moving a few old people around.
Awesome. You mentioned, right, DG may be kind of a dark horse. Other teams maybe to look out for on that women's field who might be pushing for, spots on the podium or could create maybe havoc in a heat here or there with some top pushers or good buggy tech.
I mean, in terms of robo teams, this is not like for the competitive races, but the robo teams are looking a lot better this year. That's exciting.
And I guess in terms of women team, I personally think at the moment, at least the team that I can actually see going on the podium, again, DG, I wouldn't be surprised if DG women's team went to day two, if we have a day two.
Yeah.
And
we'll get to that.
Actually went on the podium. I think that we have a little bit more, in a way, I guess, surprises from the men's side.
Yeah, I would agree.
Of like smaller teams or Greek teams actually having the possibility to come on the podium.
Gotcha. So it's a little more chalk on the women's side, just kind of the usual suspects you would expect.
I think I'd also like to give just a nod to SDCB. They look really strong this year as well on the women's side, and I think that they've got a very good shot at podiuming.
Awesome. Yeah, so let's go ahead and switch over to the men's there, which probably pretty wide open, would imagine some. Well, go ahead and just, fill me in on some of that stuff you're talking about in terms of some of those surprises.
Oh, I mean, I think we figured it out last year. Segep has an incredibly fast push team. I mean, killer hill ones, hill twos.
Yeah.
Pika put up a 15.6 second hill one. Not sure how exact that time is, but I mean, their pushers are fast. I think what's going to break it is actually going to be whoever's the fastest buggy.
Yeah, so. And I think one thing we were all looking at last year was Segep, and they were kind of coming back to the top again. They are working on a new-ish build that is not premiering this race day, but I think they're really starting to look a little bit more competitive, so I'm really interested to see them.
Yeah, that's really exciting.
Yeah, I think that's something definitely to look out for next year. I mean, if Segep comes out with a good new build, I think they'll be like podium worth it almost immediately.
Yeah, sorry, we are getting some easy listening music in the background here, which and it's gone. So if you did like that, I you can chime in on the CMU Buggy Discord, cmubuggy.org/chat. I do think we have Q&A stuff there, which I have not been monitoring, but I just remembered that's a thing we do. I haven't slept in like 2 days, and I don't even go here. It doesn't make sense. So this is only going to get weirder and weirder.
You come back to campus and you just revert?
Yeah, it's been a week, Lemon. No, but cool. I think Segep's always such an interesting team just in terms of there's always one thing not quite there that is kind of holding them back or whatnot. So will be interesting to see what happens there. I guess maybe let's just talk about SDC. You know, I think it's been obviously last year, right? No teams rolling. To plug, you know, the podcast we do here with BAA, a really good episode, I thought, talking with just their new chairs, and I think a really interesting attitude in terms of, you know, owning up and just being like, let's move forward and just make the best of it. Assume they're going to be formidable again, but what have people seen at SDC so far coming into this year?
Complete rebrand. It's really awesome. Mm.
Yeah, I mean, having been involved in that situation last year, definitely was a fun situation to be in for sweepstakes, and can't imagine for them. I mean, I've listened to the episode. It was awesome. Matt and Lewis have been just fantastic as chairman. I mean, super close to all the other teams. I've seen they've been having a lot of fun, started the trend of,
SDC
of the flags.
Fun?
Yeah, they're really, they're super nice.
We're loud.
SDC, the rebrand.
Yeah.
And they're looking fast at rolls. At Truck Weekend, they were looking fast. They do have rookie drivers, but I don't really think that's impacting their speeds at all. And I think they'll be really competitive. So.
And cool new buggy. Yeah. Less is pretty cool.
Yeah.
But it won't be racing this year.
Nope.
But you can see it.
A showcase.
Design comp, yeah. At showcase.
Yeah, they were allowed to enter that into design comp this year, right? Even though they're not racing it.
Yeah, I think like their main argument was kind of like they put a lot of sweat and tears into building that buggy. I don't remember too much. I don't want to say things that I'm not supposed to say, but I know that it's kind of their new training buggy almost. And since their driver are driving very well in their old buggies, but they built that, we were like, yeah, go ahead, show us how you did it.
Awesome. So it was almost a matter of it just not being as fast as some of the other things they're going to be rolling out. this year. Just going to start running down some of the teams here to talk about that.
Do you know if SDC built less than 1 year, or have they been starting this before last year?
I do remember having a conversation with Lewis right before I left campus last year. I want to say that it was like a less than a year build, 100%.
That's crazy.
I don't know if it started over the summer or started in the fall, but we did do buy non-GFC like funding materials for them, so it was definitely something that kind of kept going throughout the year and was mostly done, in my opinion, throughout the year.
That's a crazy feat, though.
I mean, any team that can churn out buggies year after year is a crazy feat.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Fringe.
Yeah.
New paint job tomorrow, new buggy,
builds.
New name. Exciting.
Yeah. Speaking of Fringe, I feel like we haven't heard too much from them today or recently necessarily, right? They're putting out good buggies, but I don't know if maybe the organizational intensity hasn't been there of late, but what can we see from Fringe?
I mean, I think they've been just putting out like normal times, especially compared to what they put out last year. I've seen their new buggy looks great. It's going down fast enough, or as fast as your other buggies. I think they've just been cruising. That's, I think, why there just hasn't been too much talk. Not problematic at all. So they just do their thing, and Sweeps is happy with that.
Yeah, I think Fringe is also one of those teams that have a lot of new drivers. So we're not 100% sure like what exactly the max race day speeds would look like.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they've, like, along with, I want to say, SDC and Pika, they started off the season with a lot of like slower, more bagged like training rules. And so we don't have as great of an estimate, but who knows?
Awesome. Yeah, and by the way, you can, if you do want to ask us questions or give feedback, you can go to cmubuggy.org/chat if you go into the general channel there on our Discord. And the question's not too ridiculous. It can make it onto air. Pika, yeah, you mentioned Pika. I think another team, obviously an interesting win last year, with the disqualification and everything surrounding that. Again, not to plug the podcast too much, but I did think it was kind of interesting talking with Juju, their driver, last year, and even, you know, some of these Pike old heads being like, well, you won, but, or whatever, you know, a win's a win or whatever, but imagine there is some motivation in the house around that to repeat. But what's kind of the vibe been there? What have they been rolling out looking like? On both, I don't think we talked about them too much on the women's side either, so really on both men's and women's side.
I mean, to bring it back to the new drivers conversation, both of their drivers racing on race day this year are brand new first-year students, so you really don't have that kind of institutional knowledge as a driver. You don't really have the head driver to kind of shepherd you along, which is an interesting position for them to be in. I mean, I'm sure the alumni network runs deep, and Juju has probably talked to all of those individuals, but I think they saw that they were lucky last year in a sense, and they're kind of chasing that.
Yeah, I mean, they have incredibly fast front hill pushers. I mean, they claim they did a 22 seconds front hills, which seems unreasonable.
That's cap.
But I think we're still gonna. I wouldn't be surprised if King of the Hill would be Pika's men's A. Like pushers, so
yeah, they're looking fast. I mean, yeah. Even from Truck Weekend last weekend. So,
who was King of the Hill last year?
Spirit.
Yeah. Oh yeah, they had crazy front wheels.
Yeah. Sorry. Did you have something there, Nate?
I was just gonna say Pike is definitely one of the favorites to win the men's side this year. I don't really know what to expect out of them on the women's side. They always show up, but definitely less so on the women's side than the men's side from year to year. Taking home, I think, a second place finish 2 years ago with the caveat of 2 DQs on the two of the teams ahead of them, as well as, I think, like a fourth place finish last year. So definitely looking to podium, but I wouldn't consider them like a favorite to make a top two, top three run with
yeah.
the women's team.
I think it's also on the men's and even on the women's and all gender. I mean, I love that they're out there in the all gender as a fraternity, but I think it's really just going to be how the team is going to be able to keep themselves together during the day of race day. I think that's going to make a lot.
Right. A lot of actual teams to juggle, especially for a fraternity without, you know, necessarily the infrastructure of one of the bigger independents. We talked a little bit about SIGAP, so definitely kind of in a dark horse there. Just running through some of the other teams.
SIGNU.
Talk about SIGNU.
They've got Jaeger. Jaeger's cool.
Jaeger's cool.
Yeah, they have fast buggies. They were one of the teams that qualified their drivers later than the other teams, and so I don't know how much like full race day pace or practice they've gotten in. And I think with them, they usually make day two for men's. They are fielding a women's team as well this year. Not really sure where they'll land. I think that it wouldn't be like very surprising if they had a like P6 finish in either category, but I think people wouldn't be very shocked if it was like a day two showing with no podium either.
Yeah, I mean, looking at their push team for men's at least, it's basically identical to last year's push team. So looking at that time may not be, you know, too far off the mark in predicting where they're going to be this year. So I think it's going to be a little harder to make day two this year than it was last year. The field's just deeper with SDC coming back and all that. So I think SIGNU is really going to have to step it up if they want to have a shot at podiuming or maybe even making day two. But yeah. I think they've got it in them.
Yeah, I mean, they also do have rookie drivers. I mean, they're old drivers. Actually, now they're chairmen, but Dylan's not driving anymore. He's just there hanging out.
pushing the occasional hill one.
Shout out Dylan.
Shout out
former
Dylan.
CIA member.
But I think that the biggest thing that I think I've seen from them, it's going to be in that they did start doing front hills only this Saturday, Sunday. So they might pull a trick on us on race day, but I think we'll see then what happens with them.
Gotcha. A little bit of wild card experience, but it's a good buggy. Running through.
Apex? I don't think we mentioned.
Oh, yeah.
No, yeah. Going through, yeah. Apex.
Apex this year, I think they are one of the teams that are suffering from, like, SDC calling back a lot of pushers from
definitely.
Last year. And so I am not 100% sure how competitive their push teams will be. Apex also elected not to build this year, which was quite different from the trend from the past few years, trying to do more of like a research year instead, in order to kind of like invest more time into building a buggy, because those 1 year build cycles are very aggressive, and so not 100% sure on how much like time that's taken away from stuff like race day prep. I'd expect them to make day two, but like Nate said, things are much more competitive this year with SDC and SAE returning, you know, we'll just have to see what happens.
Yeah, how do you feel about that build decision? Especially because you used to be, like, a past build lead for them.
This is true.
You can say it's okay.
Okay. I think that it's something that is, like, needed every once in a while, right? Because if you're building, like, year over year, within a one-year cycle, you just are kind of like trying to get a buggy out. Event you get to a point where you're just like trying to get a buggy out, and so you don't really have like the ability to like do a lot of like deep research or like you know focus on like specific innovations over the course of just like 1 year. And so I think it could end up being like a really good investment for them.
Trust.
Just taking this extra year.
I mean,
it
Goldfinch
was.
Goldfinch is exactly the product of what you're talking about. I mean, we attempted, I don't know if Apex even attempted to get out a full build this year, but CIA attempted to get out a build with a new process last year, which we ended up cutting off, I don't know, sometime
in
early spring. Yeah,
March, February.
But all of the work and like research and all the failures and stuff that we had leading up to that point was all just like learning for Goldfinch to come out on time and looking as nice as it does. So definitely worth taking a gap year every once in a while, even if you're a team that claims to build every year.
A lot of lessons learned, though. It was so worth it in the end.
I mean, another thing about Apex, while we're talking about them, they are the returning champs of the all-gender
True.
So it'll be interesting to see if they can defend that title or how that might shift.
Right. It seems like there's probably a lot of room for everybody to cut times and switch things around and see how that grows and evolves. So I'm excited for that one, because like you mentioned too, it's probably pretty tight, just in terms of the separation of the field and whatnot. We talked about him a bit on the women's side, but maybe talk a little bit more about CIA, too, on the men's, right? Because they've been almost there, not quite there. And with this new buggy and all that, what are the vibes like over there?
Less injured on our competitive teams by a long shot.
Yeah, I mean, last year our men's A team was racing without two of our original men's A pushers. We had two injuries, I think, in the, 2 weeks leading up to race day.
I think there were, three, honestly.
Yeah, it was horrible. We designated one of our push captains to be ankle manager because we couldn't keep our pushers healthy, whether it was rugby related injuries or literally tearing your hamstring at push practice.
First it's data analytics, now it's ankle management.
Yeah, we've got a lot of weird roles we like to give people on CIA, but
I miss the pancakes specific.
Yeah, we still do that. We still do that from time to time.
Okay, as long as they're not gone forever.
We still have a pancake chair. But yeah, no, we're very much healthier this year than we were last year. Most of our push team are returning pushers, whether they're returning from injury or returning, A team last year, and even a few. Is this true? A few A team pushers being bumped down to? I don't think that's true, actually. But
yeah, I'm not sure if that's true, but I think it's definitely a lot of our A team came back because they felt so close last year, and they want to do that again.
I think not what's going to help, but what's definitely going to avoid ideally situation like last year. We have some changes to scaffolding, so ideally it should not be blocked this year. We actually have no big stairs this year, so we only have normal ladders, all on other scaffoldings, and we've actually made a big rule change on the lane violations this year to avoid situation like what happened to CIAA last year. So hopefully that will not help, but make sure that things are fair.
Right. Cool. No, looking forward to what they have from out there. We've talked a little bit about SAE, but I didn't realize they were back, which shows how much I pay attention. But it sounds like they may also even be formidable.
Yeah, I'm hoping to see them perform this year as well as they did when they were rolling with Fringe last year. I know they had some issues in the weeks leading up to race day this year, but I trust that Eric's got everything under control. I think they're also kind of right on that bubble for a podium finish.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say things that aren't true, but I actually am pretty sure that their men's A team is almost the same as last year. I mean, Barbie's a very fast buggy.
Yeah.
I mean, Eileen and this guys are, I mean, I know this year they're going by Barbie, but I mean, it's a very fast buggy. They have pretty good pushers, so I wouldn't be surprised on a
on
a podium.
An experienced driver as well, so
yeah. I mean, Carl is a good, really, really good driver.
Yeah, that could be one, too. Very interesting to seeing if they get to day two and who's matched up with who and opportunities for spoiling there.
I just want to give a shout-out to AEPI. They're not racing this year, but there are rumors that they're at least coming back to the sweepstakes fold.
Yeah, I was actually helping them out in the first semester. Originally, we were going to loan them Tempest, which we haven't rolled on race day in quite a few years now, but we've rolled at Rolls a couple of times in the past 2 years.
Last year.
Yeah, last year and the year before, I think, with Lucy and Grace. Originally we were going to loan them Tempest, and we had a driver fitted and everything, and I was working on, securing wheels and hardware for them and stuff. And then the driver that we had fitted in Tempest decided to go abroad this semester. So they ended up not deciding to roll with Tempest and rather to fix up Kamikaze instead, which I think is better for them in terms of longevity, even if it means they can't get out on the course this year. They'll definitely be back and probably in a better position next year for it.
Yeah, from a sweepstakes perspective, I think the decision to try to... I think they notified us in the fall-ish that they wanted to try to race on race day. The decision to try to race on race day within a year, not even a full school year, was quite ambitious. I think we've seen other newer teams in the past few years have taken one or two seasons to kind of get to race day. Mm-hmm. And so we hope that this momentum continues into next year. And they have come out to Rolls. They're getting experience. They've got experience doing buggy repairs, and Kamikaze was successfully caped. So I think they're in a really good position next year to come out and start getting that rules experience and maybe set up for race day 25.
Nice. Because it is always good to see the field expanding. I think the one last team we haven't necessarily fully dove into is Spirit. I know we talked about some new drivers and a lot of change on the women's side, but what can we expect to see from them on the men's?
I mean, they're fast. Yeah. They have fast buggies. They have pretty good pushers. I wouldn't be surprised kind of contending for that 1, 2, 3, 4 kind of like spots on the podium. Again, I think it's going to be a lot on like what they can pull on race day since they do have a lot of teams. And I think that can play a really, really big factor.
Yeah, I think that Spirit along with CIA are the two teams that I would identify as the ones that have like gotten the most roles or had the most like efficient roles this year. And so like even their newer drivers have a lot of experience going down the course. I would agree that it depends on the pushers. It also depends on like they have a couple of back-to-back heats and like it's that like logistics DQ management side of race day that might end up affecting them, but we'll have to see.
Yeah, I think my biggest question mark for Spirit is mostly just they seem to have been the team that suffered the most from like pushers graduating or leaving to go back to SDC. I mean, them and Apex in that regard. And so it's just going to be, you know, they're an old org. They know what to do on race day. I trust that they, even with back-to-back heats, will be able to figure out their stuff and not get DQ'd on race day for, you know, mechanicking issues. But it's going to be really about whether their new pushers are up to par with the pushers that we saw from them last year. I think something like 3 or 4 of their men's A pushers were men's B pushers last year. The other one, like their Hill 1 this year, has never pushed on a race day before. So,
The robots. We even talked about the robots.
The robots.
They're out there. Yeah. There's three. Well,
You're saying they seem faster, though?
Well, sure. Delaney's doing a great job with Robo Buggy. I don't know who's working on Atlas. I haven't really.
Alex and them are also working pretty hard. I mean, they don't have Baby Buggy anymore. They actually came out with Monaco this year. So, kind of looking like Robo Buggy. Robo Buggy now has 2 buggies as well. They're actually planning on racing each other. Not each other Atlas Robo, but each other Robonand.
Robo versus Robo.
Yeah.
Maybe passing as well.
Yes.
Oh, wow. That's so exciting. Yeah.
And they've been out much more this year than last year.
Yeah. I think they've almost been out every roles in the spring, I want to say.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Also, huge shout out to Robo Buggy and Delaney specifically for helping out CIA a lot with our data collection efforts this year. We've been using a lot of the technology that they've been developing for Robo Buggy on our buggies for collecting data from the course, and it's actually provided a lot of insights to us on things that we didn't necessarily know before. So
yes, how is that RTK project?
Oh boy!
Along?
All right, I don't know how much I can say on this without giving away too many trade secrets here, but it's been extremely helpful to us. It took us a while to get sort of operating on our own independently. And, you know, Delaney and Robo Buggy have been a huge help in getting us on our feet and able to, you know, use the kits ourselves and extract the data and process it ourselves. But now that it's been up and running for the last, I want to say, like, month or so, we've been collecting RTK data at rolls on all our buggies for at least the last 3 weeks, and just tons and tons of data on speeds and position data. We can look at the driver's lines very precisely after the fact without having to like go through this like awful camera footage that everyone does these days where you're like, I think they're like 2 inches from the curb. Like, we know, you know, to a degree. And so it's actually been really interesting for lines analysis, and also just, you know, without saying too much, looking at like where we can improve our lines and where, you know, how do our buggies compare on different parts of the course, which has been something we have not been able to do before. It's been really interesting.
Yeah. I know from the BAA side, the RTK project was, partially funded from the BAA endowment grants. And so we're always looking for opportunities to grow and enhance the sport of buggy through either technological innovations or any other type of improvements that people want to make. And so that's courtesy through the alums and anybody else that has given to the buggy endowment.
So, and sorry, what does RTK stand for? Is that something I should know?
It's real time.
Real-time kinematics.
There
yeah.
we go.
Ah.
It's just high precision GPS data, effectively. So yeah, I think the BAA has one kit that they're loaning out with Robo Buggy to other teams that want to use it. CIA this year invested in 5 of our own kits. Oh, wow. Yeah. So we used it a little bit last year with the help of, I think, Anish and Delaney from RoboBuggy, using one of their kits, and then at the beginning of this year decided to make the investment into our own kits, and it's been a really, really good idea and has helped us a lot. And so we are fully functional and self-sufficient in that regard now, which I think is something that we're a little bit ahead of the game in, and hopefully gives us an edge on race day.
Speaking of BAA, is a great spot if you are following along in Pittsburgh or outside of Pittsburgh for everything this weekend. The live stream will be on there, the full kind of schedule events, all the results and stuff like that. So definitely a spot to check out. And you can join in on our Discord, cmubuggy.org/chat, if you want to give feedback to us now in real time on this broadcast, or just chop it up with people during the races. So as we kind of look forward, just kind of going through schedule for the week, design is noon tomorrow, design comp, is that right?
Cool. Yes, doors open. First showcase at noon.
Yes, and design comp starts earlier than that. And we are keeping the same changes as last year. So like every team is participating in design competition in some aspect. Ollie, if you wanna.
Yeah, we're actually making, I guess we're making even more changes. Aviva, this year our design comp chair is actually this proposed of two different rubrics. Kind of like a maintenance rubric. So for older buggies that are getting brought to design comp, this actually allows teams like DG that do have a loaner buggy to come there, and instead of talking about how the buggy was built, which they obviously don't really know about, but actually talking about how they, you know, maintained it and repaired it. And then there's a new builds kind of rubric, which again allows old teams to come out, but everyone has to come out, including robotic buggies. So that should be fun.
That's cool. Nice. And that'll be noon to 2?
Showcase noon to 2. Design comp starting a little bit earlier.
Gotcha. And that'll be in Wiegand, however you say it. Yeah. Also then, tomorrow night, we have the BAA welcome event at Cappy's from 7 to 9. So if you're of age and want to be welcomed, come hang out with us there.
If you have not ridden in the lead truck before, and would like that opportunity, that also is coming. It's when the auction closes tomorrow night.
Gotcha. So more info about that is available on BAA.org for those of you who are interested. So those are kind of the pre-race events. And then Friday, hopefully, we get some racing. I know things are a little touch and go. I don't want to.
Weather just changed significantly.
Yeah, we've been looking at the weather constantly for the past 2 weeks.
I think all I said in a meeting yesterday, her most two used apps are it's the weather and email.
Yeah, and right Discord, now it's Discord, weather, and emails. But I mean, we'll see. We've been preparing in case of a rain out. We have schedule prepared for Saturday rained out. If we have Friday rained out, we will 100% have all gender as well. On the day 2, which actually is day 1, we also do have a Sunday schedule prepared, so we're ready no matter what happens.
And yeah, just to kind of run through the protocols there, if Friday rains out, everything happens Saturday, right? But if Friday and Saturday rain out, then everything happens Sunday, but there wouldn't be a Saturday-Sunday scenario.
Correct.
Sweet. A lot of S's there. Cool. So that'll be, when does it officially start? 8 a.m. both days, hypothetically, Friday, Saturday?
So timing heat should be 7:40 on Friday and then 8 a.m. on Saturday. Saturday then will be starting with rerolls. And I want to say that first heat on Friday is actually 8:18. And similarly on the second day. So more or less around that time.
Gotcha. So, you know, stay tuned. Again, the full schedule will be at cmubuggy.org, and any weather changes info will be available there. I don't know if there's like a sweepstakes X, or I hate saying that instead of Twitter, for people to stay informed, but I know cmubuggy.org will have that too, as calls are made for weather, but should be a fun time outside there as we're coming here to the back hills of all of this. Just a few things. I guess kind of from sweepstakes perspective, anything new we should know about that y'all are trying to do this year or can expect to be different or fun with race day, or it's going to be race day? Uh, A couple people playing hot potato over there.
In terms of things that are new for sweepstakes, I think we're trying to run this year, you know, similar as possible to previous race days. I don't think there's any big surprises happening.
There's a small surprise at the finish line.
Oh,
if you want to go have a look.
Oh yeah, there are some small surprises on lane 1, 2 in the finish line, other than that, I think it's just adapt to all of the construction challenges, have a smooth race day, see how like these new like lane preferences affect people. I think that's like the biggest like change actually between the 2 years. I don't know if there's anything
I guess
you want to add.
From last year also, I mean, having been on sweepstakes last year and this year, I think for me what has mostly been kind of take what James did. I mean, I'm going to make all of my files, all of my agendas, copy paste from James and adapt them to this year. So I think he has just been a very big mentor for me, and it's just going to keep going the momentum that he has started and tried to just support the teams as best as possible. I think that has been our main priority this year, since we've been blessed with an overall good year, both on our side, on weather side-ish, and on the team side as well, I would say.
Yep, the bottom of the hill will be busier this year compared to last year.
Instead of 8 plus 1 in disguise.
Yeah, so so more heats to look forward to, more races. It'll be good.
Yeah, one I know we've kind of talked about, but do you want to just run through real quick? What are the new buggies we'll see this year?
Fringe has a new build. CIA has come out with Goldfinch.
SDC
has come out with Lust.
And Monaco.
And Atlas has come out with Monaco.
Awesome. So 4, so not a ton new. And SDC's Lust, you're saying, is more kind of a training buggy, so it,
yes, it will not be racing.
Racing, but part of their arsenal. Cool. Awesome. Well, as we are getting towards the end of this, I do think I always like to open up for kind of any kind of like hot takes or predictions or things people are really excited about looking at this weekend. Everybody's looking at Nate.
Yeah, I guess my biggest hot take, no repeat winners this year. No one's going for the repeat. We're going to get new winners in men's, women's, and all gender. Can't tell you who that's going to be, but I don't see any repeats happening this year.
Interesting.
Not biased at all.
Definitely.
Second hot take.
Nate has
There's
a list.
this one I didn't write down. I think we see at least 3 B teams podiuming between men's and women's.
At least three
B teams, top 6.
Whoa.
Well,
yeah.
I actually think that it's kind of going to be either there's an incredible amount of DQs like RD21. Mm. I've told the chairmen I would be very disappointed if they get DQs for silly stuff. Or otherwise, there's going to be little to no DQs at all. That's kind of what I think is going to happen this year. And if many DQs happen, I wouldn't be surprised if there's going to be a couple of B teams up on the podium.
I think a couple of B teams would surprise you even without the DQs.
We'll see about that.
Yeah, I think that like the teams that you would expect to podium would podium. I think the order of it is less clear. Personally,
yeah.
I agree. There's room for teams to like surprise us.
We still think DG will make men's and women's.
Yeah.
I'm not personally sure about men's. Mm-hmm. I know a couple of their men's are currently injured, so they're trying to figure some
There's
stuff
some shuffling
out.
Shuffling happening.
Oh no.
But I honestly would not be surprised at all. Actually, I would be surprised if they didn't make it at least on day 2 close to the podium.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that with them only having one buggy and with their chairmen's really having their stuff together, I think it's... I wouldn't see them DQ in any way. Like maybe a larger team with a lot of buggies and a lot of things to take care of would. I think they've always gotten their stuff together. They've improved an incredible amount.
Yeah, especially as a small team, they're really on top of all.
Yeah, 100%.
I am interested in seeing how the weather will affect the times, because it's going to be a little bit chillier. And last year was pretty hot during.
Yeah, we were wearing shorts.
Yeah,
Friday.
Shorts and tank tops. I don't know how likely that is. But
I mean, we'll see.
We'll see.
I think it's too early to call the weather. It seems to change every hour that we can look at.
I was going to say, yeah, my advice now being here a long time is, yeah, just whatever happened will happen. But, like, Pittsburgh weather forecasts are notoriously unhelpful. You know, it was nice to get as much racing as we did last year, so maybe we're due, but...
Yeah. I think especially because the year before we had that rain out, and yeah. It was like we had come out and everyone was ready, and then we got...
Right, because, I mean, yeah, that's one of the, just emotionally or whatever, the fact that it was like finally kind of coming out of pandemic races, and then, oop, you have a big rain.
Yeah. Time to invest in giant towels that we put on the
tarps.
No,
giant tarps. Everyone knows about my unconventional idea for buggy. I mean, I've shared this with a lot of people.
This is a hot take. Go ahead.
No, it's not a hot take. I have an agreement with my boyfriend that if we do become like very, very wealthy, I will have the Bonaccini Buggy Foundation, and I will buy the roads and build a dome. Around the course.
Yes.
Indoor dome.
Right. And we'll have an indoor dome, temperature regulated indoor dome.
Can you put a Dippin' Dots inside of the Bonaccini Arena?
Concession.
It'll be named after you.
Bleachers.
The Olivia Ali Arena.
Heated seats.
So I'm very anti-dome in any sport.
Bleacher on Shenley.
You should suffer in the weather.
We can make the dome cold.
At least make their potholes still somehow. That's all I ask.
I'll keep the bollards too.
Traditionalist. Sweet. No, I mean, yeah, we'll see what we can get in again with that. To those of you listening, if it is rained out Friday, all the marbles on Saturday, there's a whole lot of scenarios that could happen with partial races getting in, but we'll go over that on the broadcast. Don't need to get into the nitty gritty of that now. That'll be here on WRCT as well as CMU TV. You can stream that at the cmubuggy.org.
/live.
Oh, okay. Oh, nice. Even, and does that have all the live times and standings and all that too?
I think it's /race day/heats is the...
Okay, sweet.
The heats or leaderboard, one of those.
Gotcha.
Somewhere on the CMU bug.
Somewhere.
It's already there. It's already updated with the races for, oh my God, 2 days.
2 days.
Two days from now.
It's coming up. Just go to CMUBuggy.org. They'll have all your answers. I'll be slightly more coherent on Friday morning, maybe. Cool. I mean, we got a little bit more time. Any other takes, standings, surprises people think we're going to see?
Drones. At least in the shoot.
Is that going to be part of the broadcast or?
Technically, that'd be awesome.
Have some drone angles.
Have some drone.
That's gonna be sick.
Yeah.
It's cool. I remember watching that footage last year after race day, and it was very interesting. So it's cool to have on the broadcast if that happens.
It's cool for analysis as well. Going back to the analysis and
it's
line.
It's interesting
and
to
lines.
Like, yeah, look at a shoot turn from all the way up there.
You mean with WRCT, CMU TV? I mean Elizabeth and Mather here as well. There has been a lot of talk. To try to integrate that footage actually on to race day. Might not be live, probably not going to be live, but playback,
can
shoot
at least
turns.
Get replays
Absolutely.
And stuff like that. That'll be sweet. I'm excited about that. But yeah, so the whole broadcast will be exciting. Not as, no spicy takes here. I feel like people are, everybody's too friendly these days. No.
I just think we've been blessed. Yeah. With a fantastic year.
I don't, other than like the inevitable like DQ that's going to come out of nowhere, I feel like right. One that happens every year. I don't foresee any like really shocking things happening this year, especially since everyone was on their best behavior all semester during rolls. And so hopefully, you know, that stays throughout race day.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I think teams have caused absolutely no problems at all this year. It made sweepstakes job incredibly easy. As Harry was saying before, construction has just actually been our biggest issues. And talking about times on top of weather, I think they're going to be slower, realistically, just because of how bad the roads are, especially on the front hills.
Yeah, I've learned better than to talk about DQs right before race day. I don't want to get bit again.
I think then maybe in the last kind of few minutes that we do have here, I guess just talk about, you know, your roles in sweepstakes, making this happen. You know, what are, I guess kind of like, what are you most looking forward to this weekend and actually seeing play out?
I mean, I'll go first because we're just talking about the broadcast with drone footage, but that's kind of been my main my little baby, I guess some would say, is really expanding the broadcast, making it a little bit more robust, getting current students or more recent alumni in for different heats, that sort of thing, and really just making sure that it is as good as it can be and is accessible for all of the different audiences, whether that's live on the course, via the stream, via the radio.
I think for sweepstakes, it's just mostly watching like all of the teams' work this semester come to fruition for race day. You know, watching them pick up these new drivers, these new pushers, you know, constantly come out, come to us with their problems, like seeing like all of the little things that teams have to deal with and they've dealt with, and you know, watching that all come together on race day, and hopefully everyone having a successful one.
I mean, going off what Ari just said, I mean, it's my second year in sweepstakes now. I think I've seen these teams grow. Many of these teams struggle, come to us for help. We tried to help them out the best we could. And I feel like I don't compliment the teams enough. I mostly yell at them for whoever's come to Rolls Day.
She's
now.
She's proud, I promise.
But I am actually very, very proud of the teams. I mean, I'm a junior as chairman, was sophomore safety last year, I think. I don't know what I will be doing next year, but if my journey with sweeps stops here, I think I'd be very happy to go with how the year is ending. And hopefully we have 2 days of race day, not 2 years of race day.
No, it was awesome to see Ale grow from first joining as like a junior or sophomore for safety chair, and just like really growing in her position as safety chair, and then like it was such a natural transition into chair, and she's been doing such a great job, and she deserves so much more credit. So if you see her at race day, tell her she's doing an amazing job
and thank her for all of her hard work.
thank Olivia, thank actually everyone, like not just the teams but even the people in sweepstakes. I mean, Olivia, Viva, and Elizabeth, even not part of core sweeps, are part of sweeps, and honestly, have made my life so easy. I mean, the buggy books just showed up at one of our meetings. Design Comp is ready, prepared, Swiss Showcase. Elizabeth handled broadcast beautifully, so definitely made my life easier together with core sweeps, with Laura, Harry, and company.
I also want to shout out Stacy. This is Stacy. Stacy Gardner is the advisor for sweepstakes. This is her first full year. This is her first full year running through the sweepstakes gauntlet, and I think, you know, working with her and having her see what, you know, interact with the students is really good.
I'm also excited for the BAA sweeps exhibition race.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh yeah.
They're gonna be fast.
I found the paper plate where we wrote our time last year. I've yet to find out what buggy Connor acquired, but I can guarantee that without Willie Clark this year, we will smoke the BAA.
I will say they downgraded in terms of wills. I will be pushing a buggy for the first time ever.
I will also be pushing a buggy for the first time ever.
Wow. I did injure my ankle pogoing the other day, but we're working hard on getting up to speed. So I'm excited and a little bit terrified and ready for that.
What hills are you guys pushing?
Oh, I think I'm doing Hill 3. I pushed a Hill 3 for the first time on race day last year. That was kind of fun.
Yeah, and then I'm on Hill 4.
Yeah, I think you're splitting with Laura. Yeah, 4.5.
I am taking Hill 1. So that'll be fun. Yeah.
Our bravest soldier.
Yeah, and then they've given me Hill 5. Pushed it last year. That was a choice. We'll see how it goes this year. But yeah, that should be fun.
Yeah, no, excited for that. Excited for a lot of stuff. I appreciate everybody coming out here, joining, sharing their opinions. Going to be a really fun weekend, and thank you all for your hard work in making this happen. You know, going to be awesome, as always, to see race day and how it pans out. Again, cmubuggy.org has all the information you could need to watch the races, stay in touch with all the events that are going to be happening this weekend, so that is going to be super exciting. Make sure to stay tuned there here on WRCT, CMU-TV, all of that. Thank you so much again for these expert panelists for coming in here. Hopefully we see you tomorrow at Showcase and then at sweepstakes race days this weekend. So thank you all so much for tuning in, hanging out with us here at this race day preview show. For everybody else, this has been Will Weiner. We will see you at race day. Thanks for tuning in here on WRCT 88.3 Pittsburgh.
All right, that has been our Buggy Preview alongside the Buggy Alumni Association, our sweepstakes group, and also CIA. Again, my name is Anthony Cachado, Public Affairs Director for WRCT, and I'd like to thank you all for tuning in to our Buggy Preview here on WRCT 88.3 FM. And now we're going to hand it off back to our music, back to our regularly scheduled programming.
WRCT Pittsburgh, your oil revival station.
Dark web. We found your social security number on the dark web. We found your social security number on the dark web, and we used it to open your email. Your email said,
"Everybody looks familiar. I'm waking up again and again. I threw chum in the ocean and the chum swam back. The currents are recurring events. Everybody's here for the first time.
You are listening to WRCT Pittsburgh. It is currently 5:02 p.m. on Wednesday, April 10th. You are tuned into another installment of Preheated. I am your host for the hour, DJ Red Velvet. We've got an exciting show this week because it's carnival here at CMU. I am a CMU student currently until May, and this is my last carnival. So this hour will just be like themed around really upbeat, fun music that makes me happy because I'm excited for this carnival weekend and for all the events, including the WRCT Spring Dance Party happening tonight at Spirit Hall. So we're starting off strong with a bin cut. This is Grad School by Cheekface. Exciting stuff. Enjoy the rest of this hour. I'll be back.
Here for the first time.